The scripture reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, and there's a lot of verses. But it is a really good story. So Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to buy food in the city. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, is asking a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews did not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would give you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where are you going to get this living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again and again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming and is now here when you will worship God neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation comes from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. For God seeks such as these to worship. God is spirit, and those who worship God must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking with you now." Just then, the disciples came. They were astonished that Jesus was speaking with a woman, but no one dared say, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, Come and see a man who told me everything I had ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." And he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat, have they?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to complete God's work. But you say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest. But I tell you, look around, the harvest has come. But I tell you, the reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others had labor for you to enter into their labor." Many Samaritans from the city believed in Jesus because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything I had ever done." So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 more days. And many more believed because of the word. This is the living word of God. Thanks be to God. So this poet stands there and she talks about being seen is to be known is to be loved is to be known. And that's what Jesus gives the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus sees her, knows her, and loves her. Let us pray. Holy One, for this day, for this moment, we ask for the power of your Holy Spirit to inspire, to encourage, and to help us to respond to this, your holy word. Let us be renewed and restored, O God. Let us find you this moment, nourishing and hydrating our souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll try it again another time. We'll put it up on Facebook so you can get it that way. This Sunday, we're doing CrossFit for the Soul, and as you have guessed, the theme for today is? Thank you. You are paying attention or reading your bulletin or the screen. One of the three is at work today. Last Sunday, I talked about Nicodemus. I talked about the Pharisee, the man named Nicodemus, and how he came to Jesus in the cloak of darkness in a private conversation to figure out who this Jesus is. This morning, we have the Samaritan woman at the well. She's a woman. She's a Samaritan. And as the text says, Samaritans and Jews did not share things in common and did not have these kind of public conversations. And there is Jesus, the rabbi, having this conversation with the woman at the well in public. In public. And we know that suddenly she is able to see and believe exactly who Jesus is. She's a little bit quicker than Nicodemus. Nicodemus takes a little bit longer to figure out who Jesus is. We'll see Nicodemus later on in the Gospel of John, helping to bury the body of Jesus again in secret. But the Samaritan woman, this is a different story altogether. The Samaritan woman catches on. She has a public conversation with Jesus and the light of day at noon at the well of all places. And there they have this encounter, this life-changing encounter that makes her the very first evangelist in the scriptures. She is the very first person to tell others exactly who Jesus is and to spread the good news. She's the very first preacher that we have to bear witness to in the Gospels about who Jesus is. And this all is a really big deal. Unfortunately, over the years, the Samaritan woman has had a scandalous misinterpretation of exactly who she is. Over the years, theologians, church folks have seen the Samaritan woman and have labeled her as scandalous or a prostitute or a woman of ill repute, one of those things. But the text doesn't tell us that. The text doesn't say all those things. The text doesn't talk about sin at all. The text does not talk about repentance. Jesus does not mention go and sin no more like he has done in other encounters that he has in Scripture. Jesus merely points out the facts of her life. Jesus merely points out the fact that she's had five husbands. We don't know exactly why this tragedy has ensued in her life. We have no idea. We have no idea if she's been widowed five times, if she's been divorced or abandoned by her husband. We don't know why she had five husbands. In the ancient world, she would have to have a male figure in her life. And after the abandonment or death or divorce of one husband, she would have to have another. Or she would have to have someone who is taking care of her and considering her their property. So that's the situation with the woman at the well. And Jesus sees her. Jesus sees this woman who comes to the well at noon, probably so that she doesn't have to interact with all the people who perhaps whispered or stared or had comments of their own. We're probably not the first people to misinterpret or scandalously misinterpret the woman at the well. But Jesus sees her. Jesus sees past her past tragedy. Jesus sees past her self-doubt and her needing to be valued in that moment. And Jesus knows her. Jesus knows her in such a way that she sees Jesus and believes he is a prophet. In the Gospel of John, seeing is correlated with believing. Jesus knows her so well. And what does Jesus offer her? Living water. Jesus offers her this love that will quench her soul. Jesus offers to her this love that will well up in her and sustain her for the journey ahead, no matter what difficulties lie ahead. Jesus offers her this gift. And how does she respond? She responds a lot quicker and a lot more emphatically than Nicodemus. She responds in such a way that she leaves behind her jar. I find that fascinating in this text. I find that fascinating in this story, that after being seen, known, and loved by Jesus, she is so changed and so moved that she leaves that jar that represented her chores, her work, the difficult moments of the day, the challenges she was facing each and every day, and she leaves it at the well. She doesn't take it with her back home. She leaves that symbol of all the stuff that binds her to this world and confuses her identity with the standards of the world and not the standards of Jesus, who sees her, knows her, loves her. She leaves all that behind and takes with her the living water that gives her a sense of value, a sense of hope, a sense of joy, so much so that she can't help but run and tell others about this encounter that she just had. How often do we keep hold of a cheap imitation to the living water? How often do we believe that we're not worthy of being seen and known and loved by the Holy of Holies? I don't know about you, but sometimes my perfection syndrome and my not good enough inner dialogue are at play that lead me down the paths that help me seek out things that aren't going to nourish or hydrate my soul. They lead me down paths that I don't necessarily want to take. And in those moments, I really don't want Jesus to see me. I really don't want Jesus to know me fully. I don't want Jesus to know my self-doubt. I don't want Jesus to be able to see and to know those critical comments that I have for myself and sometimes for other people. I don't want Jesus to see the scandalous misinterpretation that I have of other people in the world. I don't want Jesus to know that part about me. And yet, the encounter with the Samaritan woman says that Jesus sees her, all of it, knows her, all of it, and loves her, all of it. I don't know about you, but I really need to know that Jesus sees me at my best, and Lord have mercy, at my worst. And Jesus knows me. Jesus knows me in a way that all my insecurities, all my fears, all my uncertainties, all my doubts, all my confusion, all that stuff, Jesus knows. And doesn't respond with condemnation. Doesn't respond in my life or in my heart with judgment, but responds in my life with love. So this third Sunday in Lent, when we seek to be hydrated for the journey, when we seek this gift of living water, may we receive it because we are seen and known and loved just as we are. What does the jar symbolize in your life? What is it when you receive the gift of living water that you need, want to, or would love to leave behind? What is that cheap imitation that you look to fill you or sustain you for the journey when Jesus offers living water? What past hurts, mistakes, tragedies? What present difficulties or realities is it that you need to leave behind at the well so that you can truly receive the living water and there is enough room in your heart to be filled up by that eternal and everlasting gift? During the closing hymn, we invite you to write on that little piece of paper. You can take it out now. We invite you to write if you wish or just use it as a symbol of that which you want to hand over and give away, that which blocks you from receiving the living water, that which might burden your heart this day, knowing that you're seen, known, and loved. And in these jars up here and bowls up here of water, they're filled with water. We invite you to take that piece of paper, write what you want on that, and put it in one of these vessels of water because it is a water-dissolvable paper. So it will dissolve. And I have a spoon to help it along, just in case. Because I know that when I put my words in that bowl, I want it gone. I don't want it to linger. And then receive when you leave this altar, the living water of grace and mercy, so that God will indeed fill your cup to renew you, so that you will know that you are seen, known, and loved beyond measure, just as you are. Thanks be to God. Amen.